This is Nina Lockwood. Welcome to the Inspired Life Formula, Module 5, Reimagine Your Life. In this module, we're going to look at the ways that we can use our minds to affect what happens in our lives. And you may be more familiar with using logic and reason to be successful, but in this module, we're going to be taking a more right-brained approach, using our intuition, our inner senses, and our imaginations. And one of the themes that's been running through the Inspired Life Formula is that you always have the choice, you always have the opportunity to step off that proverbial gerbil wheel of life where we've been conditioned to act, believe, admire, copy what we've been told. And not only does that make for a very predictable and unsatisfying life, but it keeps us locked into behaviors that limit our creativity, our inspiration, our spirituality, and our ability to enjoy life. So having the skill that we're going to be reviewing in this module will be yet another tool in your skill set to empower you to consciously manifest your experiences rather than simply being a victim or a passive recipient of what comes your way. Now, I'm sure you've heard or read that your thoughts are powerful. I think we all agree with this in theory, but in reality, when we're faced with a situation that has an emotional trigger, or if we have to meet a deadline, we have to make a decision right away, we often go into automatic pilot and fall back on the familiar way of figuring out what we need. Nothing wrong with that. But another world with many more options and opportunities opens up when you begin to incorporate your right hemisphere, that intuitive side of your problem solving. When we are left brain dominant, we look at the details of how to make something happen. All the planning, the controlling, the organizing, figuring out how to make things happen, anticipating problems, and providing alternate strategies. But when we are right brain dominant, we start moving into a nonverbal, image-based energy where we have an intuitive understanding of the big picture, how everything fits together, how it feels. We connect with the energy of the heart. We're not focused on how to make something happen so much as how it looks and feels, and that energy is what brings it into reality. So we discover that once we're focusing on what we want, the how of it will make itself known and will take care of itself. There are a lot of reasons to add the ability to visualize to the way that you navigate the waters of your life. Remember the numbers that we tossed around in an earlier module of how our everyday left brain dominant mind, the one we've been trained to use most of the time, is actually very slow because it's sequential, it's linear. The right hemisphere of the brain obviously exists alongside the logical, but because it can see the bigger picture and can see it much faster, it's capable of receiving a holistic, qualitative perspective. So let's define the terms that we're going to be using as we tap into this side of ourselves and look at why this process can be so effective. Then I'll cover the steps that you can take to create visualizations or imagery for yourself. We're going to be building on concepts that we have explored and practiced in the earlier modules, so it will make the process of imagery fun and easy and, last but not least, powerful. So think about how you go through your day. You envision almost everything to varying degrees before you act or speak, whether it's something you want or something you want to avoid. Most of the time, this happens so fast that we just don't realize it's even happening. And obviously, this is a good thing. These mental images help us orient ourselves in time and space. They help us recognize where we are and who we're with, what we're doing. For example, when you ask yourself, "What do I want for dinner?" before you even reach for it, your mind's eye is already looking through your refrigerator or your kitchen cupboards to see what's there. Or what if you're trying to decide what to wear to go out tonight? Even if you're already holding a piece of clothing in your hand, you're also imagining how it will look on you. You're getting a root canal? You imagine what that will be like as you sit in the dentist's chair. So with almost everything in life, how you prepare for something mentally has a huge impact on how you respond during the actual event. So, you'll often read or hear the terms guided imagery, visualization, and guided meditation. So, you might be wondering whether they're all the same thing. And essentially, they are, with some minor variations. They're interchangeable terms that refer to using the mind's eye to imagine or envision anything that you want to have, be, or do. Guided imagery simply means that you're being guided by either a person or a recording to follow a program or a meditation that's been created for a specific purpose, relaxation, for example, or pain reduction. Now, I tend to think of guided imagery as having more of a qualitative intention, and I hear it used much more in the context of changing the quality of your life or changing your mind rather than skill building. Very few people question the effect of the mind on the body anymore because study after study has demonstrated that through the use of mental imagery, the mind does have a direct effect on the physical body, particularly the immune system, the autonomic nervous system, and the endocrine system. And some of the results documented include speeding up the healing process, minimizing recovery time, improving overall health. And given the fact that guided imagery is so often used in the fields of healing, psychology, and spirituality, you might notice an allowing or an opening for a higher power to influence events. And in the context of healing, it's the same way. A healer will let go of their personal intention to allow for whatever is in the highest good, which might not be knowable by the healer at that time. This kind of focus is absent in the use of performance-driven visualization. And using guided imagery, you can then take the process a step further. Once you've allowed your mind to present an image that symbolizes a problem or a situation, you can then have a conversation with that symbol to get additional meaning or direction. This was a technique used by Carl Jung, as well as other psychologists, in order to access deeper regions of the psyche. Or, as you'll be hearing about later in this module, maybe I should say, and you can recognize and release any thoughts or feelings that are contrary to your goal in the same way and in the same kind of conversation. And one last thing, daydreaming is also a form of imagining in that you are following a series of images. But in this case, daydreaming, there's no specific intention or outcome in mind. You're just letting your attention go where it will. So visualization is the word that's most commonly used in the context of skill building or goal setting. And it comes from a process that became popular in the mid-70s. It became a very effective tool in the self-improvement and performance arenas. It's used in every field from professional sports to NASA space travel. And with the focus on rehearsing specific steps or tasks, the benefits are more quantitative or goal-oriented in nature. You can improve your focus, achieve your goals, develop new skills or new behaviors. You can pump up your self-confidence, become more positive. And there is a sense with this kind of visualization that the accomplishment is self-generated. It's a personal. And from a physiological standpoint, when you visualize an activity, you see yourself going through the motions and rehearsing the steps in your mind. You create new neural pathways in your brain, even though you aren't physically doing anything. And these neural pathways are, in effect, training your muscles. Studies have also been done here where a control group mentally performs a task, and a second group physically performs the same task. And the group that visualized the activity actually was able to perform it to a higher degree than the control group. This is an example of where the body-mind is unable to tell the difference between what's imagined and what is quote-unquote real. So whether you use the term visualizing or imagining, the skill that you're using is the same. You intentionally use the mind to imagine or envision a different or desired outcome. But how and what part of the brain you use is different. I suspect that with skill building or performance enhancement, visualization is a much more down-to-earth sounding term than imagination, which does in some circles have a negative or a lazy connotation. But we know better, don't we? Let's talk about how you can use visualization or imagery in your life. I've already given you some examples of how you're already unintentionally using this in your everyday life. And intentionally, you're using it for others when you send someone good intentions or blessings or good energy. I'm going to share two different ways of visualizing. The first one could be considered more traditional, more left-brained, where the outcome requires a certain degree of control or mastery. And I'm calling this first kind of visualization holding the reins. This is where you have a specific goal and you want to perform successfully. Maybe you want to get rid of some pre-event jitters or just familiarize yourself with all of the details of what needs to be done. Maybe it's a speech or a demonstration or a sports event that you want to win, so that each step that you need to take is clear. And in order to succeed or win, you need to rehearse those steps in your mind's eye at your highest level of ability over and over again, as if you were actually physically doing them. There are basically three steps involved to this way of visualizing: relax, envision, and feel. Step one, take the time to find a quiet place where you won't be interrupted. Then, relax your body as much as possible. This is really important because you want to be able to focus. And if your mind or your body is tense, it's going to be much harder to do. Close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, clear your mind, direct your focus exclusively on your goal. Step two, visualize yourself performing each move perfectly from beginning to end, seeing yourself accomplishing the goal easily. Imagine your surroundings, who else is there, how you're dressed, and include as many details as possible. Use all your senses to feel, hear, taste, sense, smell, everything that you're imagining. And if you are also describing your actions in words, use positive statements in the present tense, as if your success is actually happening now. because the mind does not recognize negatives such as can't or won't. It just recognizes the image. Step 3, and this is one of the most essential elements in having success with your visualization, and that's to include the feelings that you'd be having as you successfully perform at your best. So imagine yourself having fun, being confident as you move through each step of your process. See yourself smiling, happy, confident as you move through each step, and imagine the support of others as you accomplish your goal. Feeling is what drives the image and what gives it the energy to be brought into physical manifestation. So as you see yourself having accomplished your goal, imagine how you feel. See others recognizing you and supporting you. And step 4, when your visualization feels complete, end it on a high point and gently bring yourself back to the present. This kind of visualization works best when it's done several times, repetition. So the goal is reinforced and imprinted with not only each movement being understood and practiced, but there is also a level of familiarity, confidence, positive emotions, and success. The second way that you can imagine your future is slightly different. In the first method, you're essentially following a script in your mind of what needs to be said or done or experienced, and you combine that script with the feelings that you imagine you're going to feel, as well as by sensing every action in as much detail as possible. You're going for a scenario that is predictable, measurable, controllable, so that you reinforce each step in order to win or accomplish your goal. But in the second method, the one I call letting go of the reins, you let go of trying to control what happens and you feel into what wants to happen, keeping in mind that life happens for you, not to you. You're less concerned with how to make it happen, is how to attract or allow it. So instead of imagining what you'll do to make something happen, you imagine how it will feel, what it will look like, what wants to be created in a material form. There's no sense of dominating or manipulating or forcing, but you create space within your consciousness for inspiration to manifest. And there's a clear sense that something higher and greater is moving within this vision. Martha Beck has described this in a 4-step process that makes use of some of the practices that we've worked with in earlier modules. Her steps include getting out of the mind into a wordless state, sensing the interconnectedness of all of life, tapping into the imagination for clues and signs, and allowing for the formation of ideas to arise from your imagination. We're going to adapt some of her process and add a few other bells and whistles. So although the description might be a bit lengthy, once you've done this a few times, you'll get the gist of it and it won't take long at all. Here are the steps we'll be using. Presence, feeling, envisioning, and letting go. As with the first method, it works best if you can be in a place where you won't be disturbed, obviously. But as you use this technique more and more, you'll find you'll be able to drop into it at will. So bring to mind something that you'd like to be, have, or do in your life. Step 1, close your eyes. Bringing that felt sense of breath in body that we've been practicing in earlier modules into your awareness, letting yourself soften and open. and effortlessly drop out of that mental noise in your mind into that worldless presence of your heart. Step two, feel into that sense of interconnectedness and oneness. You might call it the quantum field in which everything that exists is connected to everything else, and it's happening now. This is the place where all time exists simultaneously. And let yourself merge with this sense of the universe everywhere. Step three, again without forcing or trying to make anything happen, picture what it is that you want in as much detail as possible. Seeing it as though it's already accomplished, already done, using present tense, positive wording, allowing yourself to brainstorm with your imagination as you allow yourself to bring an idea into existence. And then step four is letting go of any attachment to the outcome and letting your personality step aside for what's highest and best for you. This is something that is not used in the first form of visualization. So just let go as best you can and let the universe work out how this is going to manifest. Your job is not to figure out the specific details, but to be guided by the force that you've set in motion with the energy of your thoughts. And you'll get, as Martha Beck says, you'll get clues and signs along the way. And when the visualization feels complete, just gently bring yourself back to this present moment. And that's it. So whether you were holding on to the reins or letting them go with your visualizing, you may notice thoughts or feelings or even images that aren't what you want. In fact, they are directly contrary. Maybe you heard a voice in your head saying, I can't do that, or this will never happen, or they'll never agree to this. Or you might have images where the opposite of what you want appears. And if this happens, take the extra step of welcoming the thought or the image that's going to sabotage your goal, and then choose to let it go. We all have thoughts and feelings that are based on old habits that are contrary to what we want. So making the choice to consciously recognize those thoughts or images and then choosing to let them go is a very powerful way of enhancing your visualization and is not generally used in other kinds of guided imagery. So this you might consider the secret sauce. Just as you did with the two different methods of releasing that we did in the earlier module, try both of these techniques. Get a sense of how each one feels and which one works best for you. You may find that certain goals require one kind of imagery and one kind of visualization, and you might find that other goals are different. So experiment with both of them. Keep up the good work in writing down your experiences in your journal. And one more thing. You're probably wondering if there's a better time of day to use this kind of imagery. It's really a matter of preference. The beginning of the day is great before things get rolling, but whenever it works best for you is fine. Maybe it's at the end of your day or the middle of the day or simply when inspiration strikes. This is a skill that, like anything else, takes practice, and you'll find the right timing for yourself.